Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago, and never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough, and so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your contractor, Memphis, at DFF Memphis. And man, this week, we've got another amazing episode of the Contractor for you. Going to be a big show. Got a couple of things I want to cover before we get into our guest tonight. His name is just Piper. I don't know if this man is on the lam from the law or what's going on, but he says we're going by Piper. So Piper it is. And we're going to break down his 1 QB, 12-team, non-tight end premium league here in just a couple of minutes. Just want to kick a couple of things around for you. First of all, my other podcast, The Dynasty Warzone, can be found anywhere and everywhere that you found this fine podcast. On Wednesday's show, Wednesday the 17th, we did our future ranking of 2021 free agents to be. And if you've not done any research into the 2021 pending free agent class, make sure you download and listen. It's a great listen to begin with. I had a great guest named JD. JD hosts the GOAT Network family of podcasts, as well as runs the GOAT League podcast themselves. And he's just an all-around good dude. So great conversation. And the names on the 2021 list, again, will absolutely blow your mind. And then on Friday the 19th, we dropped an episode of the three-team parlay. That's where we're breaking down three teams as we march toward the start of the 2020 season. And on this particular episode, we're doing the 49ers. They were in the top third of the league in scoring. Then in the middle, we did Philadelphia, who were in that middle tier of scoring. And then in the bottom tier, the Cleveland Browns. So three teams, a lot of dynasty players on all three of those teams, a lot of questions, a lot of question marks. Myself and my co-host Jerry broke down those three teams, and that's out there for you as well. Please leave both feeds, the Dynasty Happy Hour and the Dynasty Warzone. Pause the podcast. Go into your queue, pull them up, leave a five-star. Just leave that. It's the number one way to help. Now, the Dynasty Happy Hour is more of a network, has lots of podcasts here by a bunch of great people, but that's how we grow this, same as the Dynasty Warzone. Now, we're on our way to a network of podcasts, but for now, anything that you can do, five stars are free for you, and they're great for us, and number one way to show the love back. And we'll get into a couple other things. I do want to hit into a story. So it came out on Thursday that Dr. Fauci, the head epidemiologist for the United States, says that there may not be football in 2020 unless they're in a bubble. You know, I'm not saying it was Dr. Fauci, but if you think back to March, we were told that there was going to be no NFL free agency. It was too soon. It's just too soon. You can't possibly do it. Roger Goodell and the owners were like, no, we're doing free agency. Went off without a major hitch. Then it was like, well, we're canceling the draft in Las Vegas, and we're going to have the draft online. And it was the same thing. You can't do that. You couldn't possibly do that. They did it. It went off great. It was a great production. And I think everybody who watched it enjoyed it. Obviously, it did record ratings with everyone at the time sheltering in place in their homes. And I firmly believe we'll have an NFL season. Now, a couple of things as it relates to that. I'm going to give this to you guys first. I'll cover this Wednesday on the Dynasty Warzone. But I was thinking about this as I was prepping for the show with Piper, that this season is going to be all about depth. So if you don't have extra depth, now is the time if you think that you have a contending roster and you're looking for that little extra oomph to make sure you have it. Because if you don't get it now, you'll pay twice as much in season. Think about going to the grocery store for a gallon of milk versus going to the gas station for a gallon of milk. You can get a gallon of milk at both places, but one's going to cost you a hell of a lot more. So keep that in mind as we go into this COVID season, because you could lose a player for 2 weeks in a lot of cases. So be careful with that. Make sure you have a little depth. But then if you're on the other end of that spectrum, make sure that you're moving those aged veterans. Because if for some reason Dr. Fauci's right, and I don't think that he will, but it goes back to possible versus probable. Is it possible the NFL season's called off? Yeah, anything's possible. Do I give it a very high percentage of being canceled? No, I do not. But is it probable? Oh, yeah, it's definitely probable, and it's definitely possible. I don't think it's that probable. So that's the possible, yes. The probable, no, probably not going to happen. But if you're one of those teams that you're in a rebuild or you're retooling, I had this conversation with one of our Patreons today. And, man, get rid of that Julian Edelman. Get rid of that Jordan Howard. Get rid of that Matt Breda. Go out, look for those teams. Take the advice that I just gave to a contender about, hey, you're going to want a little depth, and that owner may come back with, well, I may only need that depth for 2020. Not so fast, my friend, because starting in 2021, you'll have a 17-game regular season, which especially at the running back position will put that much more emphasis on your depth of RBs. But if you're sitting on an older guy, a Julian Edelman was one of the first names that came to mind. Again, Jordan Howard, you can think of a few others. If you're not contending this year, now's a great time. And you may not get like a king's ransom for these guys, but that's okay. Because whether they play in 2019 or whether they don't, there's going to be another rookie class coming in 2021. And they're just going to continue to push these guys and push these guys and push these guys out. If you don't have young, budding superstars on their first rookie deal, i.e. cheap labor, or you don't have proven elite veterans on rock solid contracts, you're playing with fire. So if you're honest with yourself and you know where your roster is going into the season, you'll know whether to go out and try to acquire a cheap piece or whether to sell off some of those pieces that could be worth next to nothing in as little as 12 months. So there's a little advice. Other things going on, man. Scott Fishbowl right around the corner. And you may think to yourself, Scott Fishbowl, I didn't get in. Well, first of all, you don't have to get in to be inspired by Scott Fish and what he does for the fantasy and just his community in general. Now, this year, he's doing a little bit different. In the past, we would make donations to Fantasy Cares, and he would use that money to buy toys for tots. This year, he's encouraging us to make donations to whatever we're passionate about. And my first donation, because there will be many donations from me, as well as my co-host, Jerry. My first donation personally was to, it's called Team Sum Assembly Required. Now, what is Team Sum Assembly Required? It is a team of adaptive athletes, most of which are combat veterans that have been disfigured or lost a limb of some sort in combat. And they come back, and as a way of coping and working through and just living a regular life, they've turned to powerlifting, CrossFit, just moving weights in general. Now, fitness, for a lot of you that don't listen to the Dynasty Warzone, is one of my passions. So to be able to donate to help that team out did this old heart of mine some good. So that's what I donated to. And that brings me kind of to the Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. People are like, you're just, you know, putting all that money in your pocket and you and your co-host, and that's not it. You know, everything, and feels like for a lot of years and then some, always goes right back into the community or goes into doing something for charity. The whole point of the Patreon and doing a Patreon that involves U.S. currency is, I mean, I guess if you have, you know, euros, we'll take those too. But the whole point is it just shows your commitment to Dynasty Fantasy Football and doing that. It says that being in a group chat with like-minded individuals is important, and that this little investment is worth that. Because again, we always reference on this show, what's your group chat like? And a lot of times people, and I bet you have a group chat like this too, is that, oh, you know what, the group chat's banging in, you know, rookie draft season. Then it will kick up a little bit during the start of the season. Then if your league has a trade deadline, it'll kick up around then. And then it can be crickets for long periods of time. That's never happened, at least knock on wood. That is real wood, by the way. High quality stuff. The knock on wood that we've never had that in our Patreon. Every day, because everybody in there is passionate about Dynasty Fantasy Football. Just like me, just like my co-host. It's not super expensive. For a buck, you get the bonus podcast. What does that sound like? Well, it sounds like more like me talking like me and not hosting a podcast. Might be some four-letter words. Might be some topics you would never hear on the regular Dynasty Warzone. For $3, you get in the podcast and the group chat. And then for $5 a month, it's the individual help from both me as well as my co-host, Jerry. And it can be your fast pass to getting on this here Dynasty Happy Hour contractor. So that is what we do over there. Again, if you're interested, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. Check that out. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate the success that Tyler and the gang over at the Dynasty Happy Hour are telling me this show is bringing. I love helping people, and I love the fact that it's the most unique podcast format in Dynasty, where we bring you, the listeners, on as our co-host. I'm having a blast doing it. I've got these things scheduled for a while, but if I can help you and you can't get to social media, you can always hit up dynastywarzone@gmail.com. I've been answering questions over there. You can slide my DMs at @DFFMemphis. I'll do my best to get to you when I can. Also, Instagram. My personal Instagram is @Memphis185. And the show on both Instagram and Twitter is @DynastyWarzone. So there's how you find me. There's how you get a hold of me. There's how you express interest of getting on this podcast. But I'm going to go get Piper. But before I do, I want to make sure I give you a quick word from our sponsor, Trophy Smack. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Enjoy my conversation with Piper, and I'll catch you guys here next week. Thank you. Are you looking for a reminder of your fantasy football greatness? Are you looking for something to set your league apart from those dime a dozen jabroni leagues out there? Then head over to trophysmack.com and hook your league up with the best trophies in the game today. And not only will you get the best trophies in the game today, you can get a free championship ring up to a $59.99 value by entering in the promo code DWZRING. You pick out your trophy. Which one do you like? You put it in the cart. You add the ring to the cart. You add the promo code DWZRING. Makes the ring free. And your league is now a step above the league down the street. So if you're looking for the best, you want to be the best in the game, you want to have the best league in town, go over to trophysmack.com, get that trophy, get that ring, use that code DWZRING, and let's have a big season. All right, here he is. Only I and the law know this man's first name. We're just going to call him Piper. He's going to share with us his Dynasty team and his Dynasty experience. Please welcome to the show. We'll just call him Piper. Piper, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, Randall Memphis Young. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem. Very, very kind of you to join me. I'm very excited to hear about this because this roster is very interesting. But before I hit the record button, you were getting ready to tell me about how year one of this Dynasty roster came to be and a little bit about your overall fantasy experience. So instead of just sharing that with just me, please share that with your fellow listener.
Sure. So this started way back early 2000s, my freshman year of high school, 2001. We started a fantasy baseball league. And that core group of guys, we've had the same league running since 2001. And when the coronavirus hit and we realized that, you know, we weren't going to be able to have our fantasy baseball league, a lot of us were like, hey, if this is a good time to get into fantasy baseball or fantasy football, So thankfully, one of our league mates had started a dynasty league about a year ago. And so six of us jumped into that dynasty league, and we're very thankful because with the loss of the baseball season, we are just eating up the dynasty experience, and it's been everything we can handle and more.
Well, that is awesome, man. I have a question for you before we jump headlong into football now. Everybody knows I love football. Apparently, you love football and sports. But I'm going to segue for just a second. I want to get another person's opinion. It's a two-parter. I'll start with part number one. Which negotiation are you more sick of hearing about? Are you more sick of hearing about Dak Prescott and his contract extension, or are you more sick of hearing about how the Major League Baseball players and owners can't come to an agreement? Me personally, it's a really close heat, so I would love to hear how you feel about all this.
I would say, I mean, it's definitely the labor dispute with baseball, and probably just because that's more near and dear to my heart. I'm, you know, being relatively new to dynasty football, it's like, okay, Dak contract, that's going to get figured out. You know, Dalvin Cook, you know, going to hold out. Okay. Major League Baseball saying we're not going to have a season, that's just heartbreaking because the players want it. It's just mind-numbing that they can't figure out an 82-game season or a 50-game season or whatever it is.
Yeah, I just miss sports. Now, luckily, I'm the father of a 12-year-old travel baseball player, and between having to drive him to and from practice and all the games that we're just now starting to play, funny story, so this past Sunday, I was at my son's baseball game, and if you don't know Salito is part of the Dummies Fantasy Network of podcast, as well as one of the three guys who's going to do the 24-hour Scott Fishbowl podcast marathon. And Sal and I are, you know, we've done shows together, and we're buddies on other social media, and I'm like, hey man, I'm at my son's baseball game, and someone's like, live stream it. I'm like, okay. So I went live on Twitter on my @DFFMemphis handle, and I had 18 people watching a 12U travel baseball game on Twitter. One guy was like, give me the blue team minus a run and a half. It was absolutely comical. I had this stream going until my arms got tired of holding my phone up over the fence for a good view of the game. So It's good to know that sports are on the way back. I know the NBA is supposed to kick off the end of July. Baseball about the same. And then I said in the intro to tonight's show that I don't buy the whole coronavirus is going to shut down the NFL. God bless Roger Goodell and the NFL owners, because it's been, you can't do free agency. Nope, we're doing free agency. And then, you couldn't possibly do the draft digital and online, and we got the draft. And we've got off-season meetings via Zoom. I'm very grateful for the NFL and its leadership and what they've going on. But, man, let's get into your leadership. Let's get into this team. So tell me how this thing came about. So this is a 1QB league, correct?
Yes.
All right, and this is an auction setup. What experience now from the baseball world? Had you had any auction experience previous to this draft?
Yes, I had done a few auction drafts. But for redraft, I had never done an auction, for dynasty or even keeper. So I was familiar with the format, and, you know, again, with zero experience, I just said, okay, I'm going to go and just start digesting good content. So, slowly started to transfer from like that baseball Twitter world into the fantasy football Twitter world. And, gotta be honest, I came from the position of, hey, look, baseball, there's more analytics, this is more data driven, you know, fantasy football is just more luck. And I've had years where, you know, the redraft football league where someone auto picks and wins it, and boy, dynasty fantasy football is a whole nother level from redraft. And so just starting to see the different content and strategies, and I wound up seeing the zero RB strategy. And so going into the auction, that was kind of my idea, was, okay, I'm going to go heavy in wide receivers based off the idea that, look, this is a safer investment, for long term. You can get a little more run out of wide receivers. And that's what led me to buy Tyreek Hill and Juju Smith-Schuster, and, you know, those are basically out of a $260 budget, was like almost $50 on both of those guys. Got Robert Woods for about $22. And, you know, I was off and running with building that core wide receiver base in the auction.
Yeah, a lot of people, like right now, on Wednesday's Dynasty Warzone, if you're listening to this contractor as it comes out the weekend of the 19th and 20th, go back to Wednesday's edition of the Dynasty Warzone. I had JD of the Goat District Podcast Network on, and he and I were talking about that. And like right now, it's very trendy. And just like anything else in the world, there's going to be trends, even in Dynasty Fantasy Football. And a lot of people right now are really big into running back. And while I agree that there are more wide receivers, there's more depth in the middle is the best way to put it. Sometimes you have to zig where everyone else is zagging. Now, myself, we've had Ryan McDowell from the DLF on the Dynasty Warzone, and he, much like myself, likes to build around young wide receivers. And you've got a couple of those, but I want to start where you're not particularly young. You got a couple of old guys at quarterback, but a couple of guys I still like. It's a 1QB league. You got Big Ben and Drew Brees. Now, what would conventional wisdom lead you to believe about your quarterback room?
Well, so I'm sure conventional wisdom would say that's going to be a problem pretty shortly. In fact, if you just think what happened last year, I had those two guys and Kirk Cousins, and I threw a dollar at Andrew Luck in the auction just in case he decided to come back. I'm in the Indianapolis area. I thought, hey, we'll do one for the hometown in case something crazy happens. Or, what happened last year? Ben and Breeze both went down. I had a stretch last year where I started Kirk Cousins for about four or five weeks. Thankfully, he had great weeks there. But our league, it's limited to four quarterbacks on your roster. So that had me thinking, since each roster can only hold four, there's going to be a couple guys on waivers at some point that I'm going to be able to go and grab. So even throwing a dollar at Tyrod Taylor off waivers post-rookie draft this year. That was my thought process, was conventionalism. Hey, I'm really at zero QB and just seeing what I can grab off waivers when I need to.
Well, I think you have a good tandem, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it's a 1QB league, and you don't need to overinvest in the QB position in a 1QB league. Now, I think Big Ben, you mentioned you're an Indianapolis area guy as well. And when Andrew Luck came back from his shoulder, you know, they worked him in slowly. And I've said this before, they're going to work Ben in slowly. But I also know that Drew Brees, even as he's gotten older, has gotten off to a hotter start. And then he kind of tapers off down the end of the year as his arm gets a little bit more fatigued. I mean, that thing's 40 years old and got a lot of rounds through it, if you will. But I think around that time is where Ben will really start to come on. And you can evaluate this in a 1QB league. You know, you mentioned there's guys on the waiver wire. We'll get into your draft capital in a minute. And I was just looking at Big Ben's contract. So Big Ben is not going anywhere this year, obviously. He's booked to be their starter. But next year, in 2021, he is due $41 million. And his dead cap number is $22.25 million. So it would technically save them $19 million, but they would be stuck with this, you know, almost $20 million dead cap number that would just, you know, not be great.
Wow.
So I feel like Big Ben's going to be there 2 years no matter what, barring him hanging him up. Now, I do think this is Drew Brees' last year. He had the incident off-field a couple of weeks ago with his comments, and he's got the futures deal with NBC. That he's going to go be a commentator with them. I think had he knew then what he knows now, I don't think Drew Brees would have came back. But I think he's going to get through 2020, and that'll be it. The cool thing is that next year's draft class has got a bunch of really good guys in this draft class, from wide receivers. I'm not as sold on the running backs next year, but the wide receivers and the quarterbacks, and there's even some tight ends that a lot of people really like, including Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. With the draft capital you have two firsts and two seconds next year, so you should easily be able to bag one of those two guys. And with two firsts, I don't know that I would use one of the two firsts on a quarterback, even a guy who's considered transcendent like Trevor Lawrence, I would just kind of see who's available with that first, second in the second round. You know, if it's like the 202, 203, for you it might be a reach early, or if there's a veteran that you like on someone's roster that maybe they would take an early second for. You know, sure. I don't think that's the worst trade in the world in a one QB league. Now, there's no intention of turning this into a super flex, right?
Nope.
All right, good. I would say I've seen leagues where they do that, and they do it like 3 or 4 years out. I will tell you, this is something that we did in the GOAT League. We reference that a lot here because it's a great league ran by, you know, a great guy. And we had a one QB league, and some guys are like, you know, talking about doing the modification of going to Superflex. And we just bought the bullet and said, hey, guys, we all like playing, you know, in the same leagues together. Let's just start a Superflex League 2. So we have what we call the OG GOAT League, and then we have the Superflex League. And then we've since went through and added a couple of other iterations of leagues, and it's worked out just fine. I don't want to blow through just the questionnaire that fast. I do want to make sure I hit all that before we get into the rest of your positions. How many owners is 12? That's perfect. I love 12-team leagues. I think 10's too few. I think 14, 16's too many. I play in some 16-team leagues. Ironically, no 14s for me. I'm like, what is the league activity? You said moderate. What does moderate mean to you?
Yeah, moderate means to me, you know, right now it's probably pretty dead. But when we were, I'd say moderate because there's weeks where there's lots of stuff going on. I mean, obviously the draft and the rookie draft, it was, you know, nonstop for a while. And you know, really the trades that were going on between the NFL draft and the rookie draft. But man, since the rookie draft has ended, it's been, you know, a post here or there. Everyone just kind of, I feel like coronavirus has our league kind of in a funk, like we're just waiting for preseason to get going. So much more active, like probably texting some of the owners. There's three or four, you know, again, some of these guys I've been playing in fantasy leagues with for, shoot, almost 20 years now. So just shooting some texts back and forth, one-on-one, things like that.
Okay, well, that's not uncommon. I think Corona has got the entire world in a funk for the most part. One thing that I try to do, and I take my great pride in being the guy that does this, is that today in one of my leagues, probably not my most active of leagues, a bunch of great owners in there, a lot of podcasters and writers in the dynasty and fantasy space, but it's been very quiet. Obviously, people are busy producing content, multiple leagues, etc. And I used a couple of bits of news with the recent news about Kareem Hunt, who we're going to talk about here in just a minute, hashtag spoiler alert, and about how he's been working in on the wide receiver Zoom calls, the Debo Samuel foot injury, things like that. I'm the kind of guy who will just throw that out there and get it going. And I managed to keep it going for about 2 hours. We started talking about Scott Fishbowl. We started talking about a couple of other things, and then it has since petered out. But, you know, I always be that person in your group chat. Don't be afraid to share that tweet, to share that comment, just anything that you find interesting. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be sports related. Now, don't be throwing a bunch of weird divisive stuff into your group chat. But if you can be the catalyst to, you know, get this thing going, never a bad thing. So that's good. Not atypical of group chats right now. I think a lot of people are just catching their breath. Why are you looking for the help of the contractor? New to Dynasty, 1 year of experience. But again, the fact that you're seasoned from other things, it's just going to take a matter of learning some of the nuance, I would assume.
Sure. To me, the biggest thing that I had to get caught up on was the player pool. Of just going, I don't know these guys. So even going into that auction, I wasn't even looking at a lot of the rookies. In fact, what I had was that redraft mindset of, hey, you don't want a rookie because a rookie isn't going to help you win this season. And now 1 year in, man, the thing that really helped me the most was one of my relatives sent me, he's like, you got to check out Matt Waldman, Matt Waldman's RSP. So I bought that this year and just devoured the whole thing. I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is some awesome content. And some of these players are going to be tremendous contributors to the NFL very soon.
I love hearing it. It's an investment. I mean, Dynasty, it's fun. I've got a good friend. His name's Nate. Doesn't produce a whole lot of content or anything in the Dynasty or fantasy space, but Nate puts it the best. He was like, for every roster that you build in Dynasty, if it costs you $50, and $50 is about the average. I've got some $10 leagues. I've got some $25, $50, some into three figures. I don't play any of those crazy, you know, $1,000 or plus dollar leagues. But as Nate would say, if you play in a $50 Dynasty league, he's like, what are you giving up to be in that league? You're giving up like one Friday night dinner with a couple of drinks with your wife. It's not super expensive. If you're you know, married, got a couple of kids, you're not even giving up one trip to the movies to do a Dynasty league. So if you're in several, like a lot of us are, and I know one day you will be too, Piper, you'll find that investing in things like the rookie scouting portfolio, like Patreon leagues, it's an investment that you're putting back into this. Because the one thing I have found over my years of not only playing Dynasty, but consuming Dynasty content from as many people as I can, is that it really makes redraft a whole lot easier. You know, when your buddies, you know, that only play fantasy, because I have a league like this, it's my old school league. I think we're going into year 18, 17, 18. These guys are always scuffling in like rounds 11 through 13. And I'm just like licking my lips. I'm salivating like a rabid dog ready to pounce on my next pick, because I know exactly who everybody is. Nothing gets by you. You know where the value is. You know where the I guess the value, the best way to put it is value is. And they tend to overdraft older players. They tend to not understand who's hurt. Because when you're into Dynasty like we are, it is the best thing. So, man, I'm ready to jump in here and help you. You did say that you think this team is a win-now contender. I will mostly agree. I think you're going to need to catch lucky a little bit at running back. We're going to get into that in just 1 second. So we already talked about QB, Ben and Breeze. I think you're fine for a year or two. Let's say hypothetically Breeze gets hurt and Ben gets off to a slow start and stays there, you may have to pivot and maybe pick up somebody. But outside of that, man, I would just be cool. I would see how the season gets off to a start, and I would look at their schedules. I did not have a chance to look at their schedules for you. But a lot of times with these two guys, you could just play the matchup. Obviously, you wouldn't want to play Ben when he's playing Baltimore, as it's typically a slugfest. And, you know, there's not too many games where you're not playing Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees was easily a top 15 quarterback last year before he got hurt. And on a points per game basis, I know he was a top 10 in your standard 4 point per throwing TD league at a points per game basis, because Teddy Bridgewater played 4.5, 5 games. So you're good there. The other position I want to go to, because there's you've got a really good situation at tight end. Now, you're not carrying a bunch. It's not tight end premium in this league. But you've got Zach Ertz and Jay Sternberger. How did you wind up with Sternberger? Was he cheap? Did you get him for a couple of bucks?
He was a $1 in the auction. And I tip my hat to Matt Wallman on that one. That was one of the guys that was like, hey, under the radar, keep an eye on this kid. And so, again, that's where I went, like, look, I don't know. I don't have the experience. So just looked at a few things that were being talked about in the industry and snagged him. And, boy, the narrative for him has shifted since that one catch for a touchdown in the playoff last season to get ready to see a volume boost. And then the Packers didn't add a wide receiver. And all of a sudden, it looks like Jay Sternberger's all systems go.
That's a good way to put it. If someone tries to tell you that they know who the second option is in that passing game, I'm going to call that person a liar. You really don't know. if you told me it was Aaron Jones, the running back, I'd be like, okay, I could see that. If someone told me it was Alan Lazard, okay, hypothetically, sure. If he lines up the most in two wide receiver sets, which they run a lot more of now in Green Bay, okay, but if someone told me it was Jay Sternberger, so here's the thing. 2 years ago in 2018 under Mike McCarthy, the Packers were in the mid-75% range on three wide receiver personnel. In comes Matt LaFleur last year. They went from the mid-70s to 60, which was slightly below the league average. So they do run some three wide receiver sets, but they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. And who are those two tight ends going to be? More than likely, one of them is going to be the young man. I don't remember his first name. His last name is DeGuara, one of the tight end slash H-backs they drafted in the 2020 draft. And then it's going to be Jay Sternberger. I know one of the wide receivers is going to be Davante Adams, and the other one's going to be maybe it's Equanimeous St. Brown, maybe it's Marquez Valdez-Scantling, maybe it's Alan Lazard. But for the point of this conversation, what matters is that Jace Sternberger is going to be on the field a lot, because when they go to three wide receiver sets, he's probably still going to be on the field. When they go to two wide receiver sets, he's going to be on the field. And for all we know, he could easily be number two in targets, and not in what you, not is or still could be a very high volume passing attack, but in one that I think is going to be very efficient. So I love that. But Sternberger is your backup behind a veteran like Zach Ertz. Now, on the Friday, the 19th edition of the Dynasty Warzone, we did our three-team parlay series. And one of the teams we broke down was the Eagles. And Jerry and I, Jerry being my co-host, we can't figure out why people hate Zach Ertz. We can't figure out why you hate Zach Ertz. He's a year and a half, 2 years younger than Travis Kelce on not quite as prolific of an offense. And even though Dallas Goedert emerged last year and had about 80, 85 targets, Zach Ertz still had 135 targets. To put that in perspective, that's the exact same number as DJ Moore last year. And what he missed, a game and a half? He hurt the ribs or whatever. And I think he missed almost an entire game in week 16 and then missed all of week 17. He's a guy who could have had had he played both of those games, he could have had 150 targets. So, and I don't think the wide receiver core, although it's better, quote, air quotes, better. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey's coming off of the foot injury, which could put him on the pup. Deshaun Jackson's not a threat to the targets that Zach Ertz continues to get. And I think there's going to be more than enough 12 personnel going around in Philadelphia. So, dude, you're tight end, you're good. You got your now and you got your future, we think. So I think you're pretty buttoned up there. Any concerns with your tight end room? Any questions I could answer there?
Well, no, and that's the thing. There's some guys that are carrying, you know, four, five, even six tight ends. And, I mean, that was one of the places that I had cut. You know, I cut Delanie Walker. I traded Gerald Everett earlier in the season to, and the fact that was in the deal where I snagged a second rounder. So yeah, I was like, okay, am I thin? But I like what you're saying. I'm good just to hold pat with those two.
Yeah, and with this, you know, now the hoarding of tight ends and gambling on a lot of guys, it makes sense in a league where it's tight end premium. You know, the gambling on those young tight ends is like, you know, getting a bunch of cheap, and this is an auction, so this will be a fitting analogy. It's like getting a bunch of cheap $1 lottery tickets. If you scratch off the right one, man, you could make a lot of, you know, return on that $1 investment. So if the right guy hits, so I get that in a tight end premium league, but in a standard tight end league where you're getting the same PPR or half, in this case half PPR, as the wide receivers and running backs, there's no advantage to having four, five, six, seven, you know, even on a deeper roster, in my opinion. And a lot of guys do the same thing with quarterback. I think you have the right amount of quarterbacks. You've got Tyrod Taylor, Big Ben, and Drew Brees. You know, if the worst case scenario happens, there's a trade button for a reason. You could reach out. Sure. You could reach out to another owner, and I bet you that Matthew Stafford's probably on a roster with another really good, you know, quarterback or two. And Matthew Stafford is a great guy to go out and get cheap. He's very trendy right now. We talked about trends earlier, the hotness. He's very hot, but that's okay in a one QB. Now let's get into the meat and potatoes of this, because everybody loves running backs. Everyone loves wide receivers. And I'm going to start with your running backs, because I think this is where you either need some luck or you're going to need to make a trade. So you have Darius Geis, a.k.a. the mystery box. I loved I love Darius Geis. He's the guy that a lot of people compared to Bo Jackson coming out of the SEC. I heard it said that he was the best running back to come out of the SEC since Bo Jackson. That raised an eyebrow for me. You have Kareem Hunt. We talked about him taking Zoom calls and meetings with the wide receiver. So there's another team, by the way, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. By the way, one of the other teams we break down on the Dynasty Warzone three-team parlay on Friday the 19th. Stefanski ran the most two tight end, two wide receiver sets in the NFL last year in Minnesota. By how much?
Right.
I will tell you by how much. The league average is like in the low 60. I think it's 61, 62%. Minnesota last year ran 25% three wide personnel, which means they were in two tight ends on the field, two tight ends, two wide receivers, 74% of the time. So when they have Kareem Hunt in the backfield and they want to put that, you know, put him in motion, he could easily line up in the slot. You could see Kareem in the slot with Nick Chubb in the backfield. You know, that they brought in a fullback. They've brought in some packages to really try to disguise and cover what they do. And I think Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are both going to be huge beneficiaries of that move. You got James White. All James White does is, think for like the last 3 years, is given you at least RB2 value. And I don't think that changes. Jarrett Stidham's mobile, but he's not like Lamar Jackson mobile. Now, he's not Tom Brady immobile, where he'll just check it down 18 times a game. But I think James White's volume will still be there. Somewhat interested by Jerick McKinnon. Don't know what the role of Darwe Agumbawale. I want to talk about Rashad Penny in a second. You have Bryce Love, so you have another part of the backfield there in Washington. Rodney Anderson, by the way, for you listening, if you find Rodney Anderson cheap or free on the waiver wire in your league, definitely worth a stash. This is a guy that in Devy circles was really, really highly thought of. And, you know, he had an ACL surgery coming out of college. It cost him his rookie year. Much like Bryce Love, you have both of those guys. You could call this team ACL. Hell, you got Rashad Penny, too. And, you know, there is some upside, like, after the midway season. Let's talk about Rashad Penny. What did he cost you? So you got him last year. Was he a super expensive get?
No, he came over in a trade. So going with the zero RB strategy in the auction, as I just, you know, started following all these dynasty guys and really, I mean, listening to your podcast, I mean, the Warzone, Happy Hour, I mean, just really probably 15 different podcasts, and just to see their strategy, what they're trying to do, and kind of seeing like, oh, okay, yeah, there is a shift to, you need to have RBs. And so I was kind of looking at my core set of wide receivers and going, all right, I might need to move one of these assets to get a draft pick and, you know, be able to snag a running back. So I wound up moving Tyreek Hill and Melvin Gordon, who I had acquired in a trade at the trade deadline last year to get ready for the playoffs, moved Tyreek Hill and Melvin Gordon and got back Julio Jones, the 1-3, the 2-3, and Rashad Penny was kind of a throw-in on that deal, you know, coming my way. As you know, I think I sent Tyreek Hill, Perriman, Melvin Gordon out, and, you know, Julio and draft picks came my way, and Rashad Penny was that guy that said, hey, give me Penny and we'll get this done.
Well, the reason why I ask is I was listening. I don't remember what the podcast was, but I remember the guest was Russell Clay. I believe he's with The Athletic. I don't know, but I just happened to be hearing this because at work I listen to a lot of podcasts. And his question to the host, and I don't remember who it was. If I did, I would totally give them credit. But he was like, what's the difference between Darius Geis, who I think we're all continue to be high on, and Rashad Penny? And when he said it, I mean, I just immediately paused the podcast and I started thinking. That's why I listen to podcasts, by the way. For those of you listening, I'm looking for something to inspire thought. I don't always need to be, you know, told, hey, go do this because this. When he said that, I hit pause and I was like, that's a damn good question. Because Rashad Penny was drafted in the first round by the Seahawks, a very good offense with a very good running history. And Darius Geis is on a pretty pedestrian offense and really has been for a while, especially since Kirk Cousins has been gone. And why are we so much higher on Darius Geis than we are Penny? And it got me to looking. So my only startup that I did on MFL that I had quick access to, but Rashad Penny, this is IDP, so you got to factor in the defensive players as well. He was the 301st player off the board. So, I mean, again, you got to figure in all those linebackers, all those safeties and defensive tackles, and on top of everybody else. And Darius Geis went 109th. So almost 200 players went between Geis and Penny. And when I heard that question, I mean, I do think that Geis is a better overall football player, but I don't think they're that much different. So I like that. You're probably going to have to hold on to those guys. And you did manage to pick up at least one guy that I really love, and you got him so cheap. You did get J.K. Dobbins. I'm tepid on J.K. Dobbins because of the PPR volume. Running quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson don't tend to check down as much. Their natural instinct is to look, and if they can't find the first read or two, they just tuck the ball and run, which is how you get 1,000-yard rushing as a quarterback. Then you got DeAndre Swift at the 108. My friend, that's a felony in some states. That's theft. You stole DeAndre Swift at the 108, and then you got a guy. This is where I can tell, guys, this is why you listen to podcasts. This is why you buy things like Patreon memberships or Matt Waldman's rookie scouting portfolio. You got Anthony McFarland at the 305 in a non-superflex. Mm-hmm. That's a great pick. And I bet you not too many of your buddies had that that knowledge to get him at, we'll see, that's 20, that'd be like 28, 29 overall. Man, on a good offense behind a not too healthy guy and James Conner, man. So that's what I was talking about with your running back room. I see potential. Dude, I think late in the season, if Dobbins is this year's Miles Sanders, who gets off to a little of a slow start, maybe the veteran in front of him gets hurt, or he just takes the reins just due to sheer talent, okay. And I think DeAndre Swift is going to come out on fire. I don't know how this man went from being the clear-cut 101 in Devy and every Dynasty League that I was in all October, November, December. All I heard, and I heard it for a long time, DeAndre Swift's the 101. All of a sudden, Jonathan Taylor ran a sub 4.440 at Indy, and all of a sudden he went to the 102. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, all he did was go, 38th overall to Detroit? And then in this case, in a 1 QB league, he went 108 overall. My goodness. You are going to look, much like the guys who got Dalvin Cook late, much like the guys that let that really talented guy that we've known for all along that's really good, that let him slip because of the narrative of the bad team or the crowded backfield, you're going to find that you did real well there. So, but I do think that you're a premium stud away. Would you agree? Do you disagree?
I agree, and that's where putting out some trades, if I can move a couple of pieces and a couple future assets to snag a Saquon Barkley or a McCaffrey or a Ezekiel Elliott or Chubb or like one of these top five guys, is that something that I need to do to be that clear cut contender?
I really think that's what you need. But let's talk about how you know, and maybe the listeners thinking to themselves, maybe they hit the pause button and they say, well, how are we going to acquire a stud of that level? Well, let's go down your wide receiver room, which is arguably your most depth, your most talent with the most name cachet. So you got DeAndre Hopkins, you've got Juju, you've got Julio Jones, Robert Woods, Christian Kirk, Tre'Quan Smith, the corpse of Antonio Brown, Justin Watson, Hakeem Butler, and a young guy that I really like that I think that as Dynasty owners, we'll be buying up like hotcakes about week 8 and 9. And why is that? Because Preston Williams is coming off of an ACL. And this is not going to become a Cooper Kupp rant, but You know, not everybody comes off of an ACL like Cooper Kupp did in 2019 and turned that into a wide receiver four overall on the season. You know, think back at 2018 when Allen Robinson was coming off of his ACL and he had some hamstring issues and missed, I think he played 8 games that follow-up year to his ACL. Not everybody can do what Cooper Kupp did or what Adrian Peterson did a few years ago from the running back position. Usually that second year, that first year back, and, you know, there's going to be some hurdles. And then it's that second year back where guys tend to really come back strong. So I think people, because he also has a lot of trend and buzz and steam around him, I think he's only bound to get off to a slow start. And when that does, that will be the buying opportunity around weeks 5, 6, 7. So don't be selling your Preston Williams cheap because he's not lighting up the scoreboard. You with me?
I'm with you. And there were a couple owners that were trying to buy him at the end of the season last year and early into the off season. And I shot those down. Like, nope. I think I know what I have here. A guy that was starting over Parker when they were both healthy. So, and again, Miami didn't address the wide receiver position, so they must feel pretty good about him coming back.
I would say that tells me, much like Cooper Kupp last year, he didn't miss any OTAs or mini camp in 2019. He, you know, didn't have any setbacks in camp. And based off the actions of the team around him, that made you feel very comfortable. At least it made me feel very comfortable as a Cooper Kupp owner. And this year I'm feeling the exact same thing about Preston Williams. That's a very astute call on your part. And their new offensive coordinator, his name's Chan Gailey, for those that don't know. If you go back and look at what he did with the wide receivers he had in New York, that was his most recent coaching stint, was 2015 and 2016. Ironically, the quarterback was Ryan Fitzmagic. And I think Fitzmagic will at least start the season for Miami. I mean, both these guys, especially I think it was one of the seasons, 2015, these guys had monster seasons in this offense. So he could contribute right away. The guy that I want to talk about the most, he's got the most name cachet, along with the most, if people use trade calculators, he's got the most trade calculator value, and a quarterback that everybody's fallen in love with, and that's DeAndre Hopkins. Would you be opposed to moving Hopkins?
I would not, and it's funny because he has the draft capital. That's the, you know, again, I'm obviously, I don't want to look like I'm selling him, like someone please take him, but there's been a few owners where, especially, you know, like just casual conversation with the Kyler Murray owner, like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to pair Murray with Hopkins? Like, oh yeah, that would be nice. And, you know, we were kind of circling a deal around, you know, something like Debo and Dak and his 2021 first for Hopkins, like something like that. But that wasn't for a stud running back. So, you know, the other owners though were kind of like, oh, look, if you're going to give me Hopkins, I want Hopkins plus, for my stud running back. So I'm glad that you said that. It's just how do I get this deal done?
Well, it's going to depend on the owner, what his roster looks like. I did a little research in the calculator before we hit the record button. And if you were to go DeAndre Hopkins and you're just going even up, right? You want to stay in that same quote unquote price range.
Yep.
So some guys in that range are going to be Nick Chubb, Miles Sanders, Dalvin Cook. You're probably a hair out of the Alvin Kamara range. But if you want to get into that elite high end running back room, you're going to have to go Saquon Barkley in a first. Excuse me, DeAndre Hopkins and a first for Saquon Barkley. And you're just going to have to, again, if your league doesn't use a calculator or if they do, it really doesn't matter. I'm telling myself I have one DeAndre Hopkins share out there. I'm willing to take just a little bit of a haircut to, you know, unlike the Major League Baseball players, I'm willing to negotiate a little bit. And I understand I've got to lose a little bit in this deal too. No one's going to pay me market for DeAndre Hopkins. I'm probably lower on him than most. And the reason why is that he's going into his age 28 season, which is like the right at the peak. Some people will say it's not, but you know, I think he turns 29 next March, if I remember correctly. And you know, he's not going to get the volume. He's a guy that when we broke down the Texans, I mean, this guy averaged like 150 targets over the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that in this offense. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's still there. Christian Kirk, who you already own, is still there. What's Andy Isabella going to do? What does Kenyon Drake absorb in the passing game? There's a lot of, you know, mysteries. And right now, because of COVID and what we've not seen in OTAs and minicamp, we don't have all the clues. So he's a guy that if I can get out on name value, and hey, you know what? If he has another DeAndre Hopkins wide receiver 1 year, I understand that's part of the risk of making this move. But if you want to go up, if you want to go uptown and you want to get Christian McCaffrey or Barkley, you're going to have to add a little bit. You know, I would start looking around even up offers again for the Nick Chubb. If I could get Nick Chubb even up, because I do think you can start him and Kareem Hunt. And I think Kareem Hunt's going to be on a different roster in 2021.
Right.
So there's going to be opportunity to where you can start both. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings last year were fifth in rush attempts. And again, the guy who's calling the plays in Cleveland called the plays in Minnesota. The addition of a fullback, the addition of offensive line coach who was formerly the interim head coach of the Redskins, Cunningham. He was the guy who says, we're going to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. I mean, you bring in an old-fashioned run the ball offensive line coach. You bring in a fullback. What's that tell you they're going to do this year, Piper?
Run the ball.
They're going to run the damn ball. So you could afford to have Nick Chubb. Josh Jacobs is a guy that a trade that I would love to see you make. So you got 2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
I would love to see you offer DeAndre Hopkins in a second for Josh Jacobs in a first. Don't know that you get it done, but if I could get Josh Jacobs in another second for DeAndre Hopkins. Now, the value in the calculator says you lose that one by about a mid-2021 first. Okay, but sometimes you got to have that forward thinking. And what's that deal going to look like mid-season? And what's that deal going to look like at the end of next season? Because if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't produce the way that people remember DeAndre Hopkins producing, you know, then you're going to have a guy who's currently worth quite a bit who then will be going into his age 29 season on the final year of his deal that he didn't produce with last year. And you just see all these narratives that will just drive his value into the ground. And the reason why I choose Hopkins is because, again, he's got the most name. I mentioned that startup that I did on MFL earlier. Hopkins went at the 202. So he was the 14th player overall off the board. The running back right above him was Alvin Kamara at the 112, so like three picks before. And then the two running backs after him were Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Miles Sanders. So I don't know that I personally would take, you know, those guys there. But I'm just telling you, these are some other people that you've probably heard of in this draft. And if I can get out of DeAndre Hopkins and, again, take a little, quote-unquote, little haircut, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Because I think Julio's your old veteran who's still going to put up huge points, just like Hopkins.
Yep.
You got your intermediate guy in Bob Woods, you know, who's going to put up numbers. I mean, you literally have four guys that if Hopkins, Juju, Julio, or Robert Woods finished top 12 at the position, or if all four of them did, no one's going to be surprised. So that's where you have an excess. And that what I do is I just make it make sense. You know, you don't go to a fellow owner who's got an equally impressive wide receiver room. You go to one of those owners that maybe went a tad overboard with good running backs and say, hey, man, you know, you're a tad heavy in running back. I'm a tad heavy in wide receiver. Let's see if we can't balance these scales a little bit. Great place to start, man. But outside of that, I think for 1 year of experience, you made some big boy trades. I think you've done well. If you want to go, like I said, if you want to go for the gusto this year. Now, what are the starting format? Is it like one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, flexes? What's the I didn't get that info.
It's two running backs, three wide receivers, one flex. one quarterback game.
Okay, because I play in some leagues, and with this being a newer league, I thought maybe it could have been that format where we have to start one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, and then like anywhere from four to six flexes. And if that was the case, gotcha. If that was the case, then maybe you could hang on. But I don't think getting out from under Hopkins, especially when you've got Julio, who we you know can get another good solid, you know, a definite solid 2020 and maybe a 2021. Again, contractually, he's not going anywhere. He's like a 20. Yep. He's like a $22 million cap hit. So you know Julio's safe. Robert Woods is kind of tenuous. Next year will be the last year of his deal, and he'll be 29. But in that offense, and I don't think he's going anywhere. Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? No. So you know he's going to be around. And then Juju, man, if Juju returns to form with the two young guys you got at running back in Dobbins and Swift, Sternberger, man, you got two first, two seconds. Oh, and then don't forget Preston Williams, who we like a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, we don't know what Christian Kirk's going to be in year two of this offense. So
right.
you've got a nice combination of depth at wide receiver. You've got proven talent at some key positions. And you've got some nice depth. And depth, I'm telling everybody that will listen to me, in the COVID season, depth is going to mean something. You know, next year in 2021, when the season goes to 17 regular season games, depth is going to mean something. And
right.
That's what you really need right now, man. You need that crown jewel running back. That would be the advice I would give you. Go out and start kicking tires, and Hopkins would be the dude.
Go. Okay, that sounds good.
All right, man. Well, what else do you want these people to know about you, or anything else I can do for you before I get you out of here? It is late when we're recording here in the great state of Indiana. It was funny. We were messaging each other about the time to meet up, and you were like, "Hey, I'm just leaving Zionsville." I'm like, "Well, I wish you would have said something like 15 minutes ago. I was just down the road
across the street.
Yeah, I was just
yeah, right across the street.
I was just down the road. I could have brought my pocket recorder. We could have done this over a beer." But man, I really appreciate you jumping on. Anything to add?
Hey, no, I mean, just I give a shout out to my cousin Dave Piper. He's a producer for Harris's podcast, and my other cousin Gibson Piper, Half Court Hoops on Twitter. He's got some great content that he's putting out all the time, so check him out.
Well, we can be your low key advantage to keep up with the other two Pipers. You're the only Piper that matters here.
That's right.
On the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. So listen, on behalf of Piper, I am Memphis. And remember, as we say here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, the roster you have today is not a life sentence. We can fix it. We can make it better. We'll see you back here real soon. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. I'm not golfing or slinging my hands a monster. I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal Dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.